We're getting up to speed on President Trump's impeachment. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As of what we know right now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not sent the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. The Senate will eventually hold a trial to determine if President Trump should be removed from office, but it can't take up the issue until the House formally transmits the articles. President Trump is the third U.S. president in history to be impeached. And how do you feel about the impeachment? How do you want the Senate to respond? Do you think President Trump should be removed from office over his call with Ukraine's president and his response to congressional investigators? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Tim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So why are House Democrats not turning over the articles of impeachment and not naming the House prosecutors?
Well, it's a little tough, I suppose, to understand the strategy involved here. But the public reason, at least, is that Speaker Pelosi is looking to try to leverage her turning over those or sending those articles over to the Senate and naming the House managers, as you indicated, to try to ensure that, from her point of view at least, that the trial in the Senate is a fair one. And by that, of course, what she means is that Majority Leader McConnell, Republican in the Senate, has said that they're going to be working with the White House because, of course, Republicans don't see the impeachment as having been fair itself. It was highly partisan from their point of view. And so they're perfectly willing to work with the president and not serve as impartial jurors like they would in a civil trial or a criminal trial. But from Pelosi's point of view, she doesn't want that. She wants to have more witnesses called in the Senate. And that's something that Republicans seem to be resisting at this point. So it's kind of this back and forth. And from Pelosi, by withholding the articles, that she can stall the process, hoping to leverage that to get her way in terms of how the trial goes in the Senate. But the Senate's just not going to go along with that, it seems.
Well, we've heard from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying that he's in total coordination with the White House over this trial. Is that fair? Is that impartial?
Well, again, it depends on whose point of view you're looking at here. The Democrats have been making the argument that it's not. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat senator from New York, has been saying that that's not appropriate, and other Democrats have been saying the same thing. But again, from the Republican point of view, they don't think that the impeachment itself was fair, that it wasn't impartial. And of course, some of the people, Democrats, complaining about Mitch McConnell not being fair or impartial, perhaps even calling for him to recuse himself, seem to forget that a number of Democrats, particularly those that are running for president, have said that they think Donald Trump should be removed from office. And so they're not exactly impartial either. And we really can't expect that. This isn't a criminal trial. It's not a civil trial, even, where you have to, by a constitutional mandate, have an impartial jury. It's a political process, and so certain analogies that you make with the criminal justice or civil justice system just aren't appropriate.
Congressman Mark Pocan is a Democrat from Madison who voted for impeachment, and he argued on the House floor that President Trump had betrayed his oath of office.
He abused the power of his office for personal and political gain and has refused to cooperate with a co-equal branch of government. This is a vote for our Constitution, setting the precedent for all future presidents, Democrat or Republican.
So Pocan had made similar comments on our program before the vote. Tim, if House Democrats didn't impeach President Trump, would Congress have set a dangerous precedent for future presidents?
By not impeaching? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. You know, it's always hard to tell. And one of the most difficult things about this whole thing is trying to separate a person's political inclinations from what's actually going on. And, you know, if you're a Republican, you tend to support Republicans. If you're Democrat, you support the Democratic side of things. And that's not particularly surprising. We're in, as everybody seems to know, a fairly highly partisan period right now. And it's hard to look past that. Some of the charges that Democrats have made would seem to be okay. You know, is it really that this terrible thing that Trump has done, or is it you just don't like Trump? Is it Trump being Trump? And as sort of in a joking way, the Republicans use the short phrase "orange man bad," meaning, you know, because they say that Trump has kind of got this orange tint to him because of his tan and he's a bad guy. We don't like him. We don't like anything he does. Republicans point out, well, look, if you're going to impeach Trump over these sorts of things, what about all these things? And they point to a list of things that they complaints that they had against Obama. Say, well, we could have impeached him for all these sorts of things. And so that's part of the problem that we have now, is that if you're going to dress up the things that Trump did that you don't like as abuse of office, abuse of power, obstruction of Congress, then the next president that happens to be a Democrat could be in having that problem as well. So it's not so much that Congress necessarily would have set a bad precedent by not impeaching. The question is whether they set a bad precedent by impeaching.
We're looking at President Trump's impeachment. What happens next with University of Iowa political scientist Tim Hagel at our side? You can join in. How do you feel about President Trump's impeachment? Do you support House Democrats impeaching the president? How do you think the Senate should respond next? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Willem now in Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hello. I think there are plenty of reasons to impeach. I think the impeachment was proper because even going back to the Mueller report, which I read in it's available in public libraries, even the Mueller report had mentioned the president's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, was involved in some sort of meeting with a man who was determined by our intelligence agencies to be a Russian agent, and they were discussing ways that Trump's presidency would be useful to Russia in their Ukraine policy. And then the president of the United States, in an unprecedented move never before done by any president in U.S. history, used his personal lawyer to carry out foreign policy. Usually foreign policy of the United States is vetted through the Senate by, you know, approving ambassadors and things like that, but no one approved of the president's private lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, carrying out meetings with Ukrainian officials and others about this thing with the Bidens, which the president himself called for on the White House lawn. So I think there's plenty of reasons to impeach the president, and I think the thing with Mitch McConnell is, in theory, they take an oath to come at this Senate trial with an impartial view and hear the evidence. And I think there's plenty of evidence from very credible people like
Willem,
Dr. Hill and Ambassador Taylor.
And let's pause right there, Willem, and allow Tim Hagel to respond there. First, Tim, with the president's private attorney, Rudy Giuliani, representing the U.S. On foreign affairs.
Yeah, that's something that apparently is being looked into by certain agencies. I'm not sure if it's the FBI or other investigatory bodies. So we'll have to kind of see what's going to happen with that. One of the things that's certainly nobody can disagree with is that President Trump has been a disruptor. That's partly the reason, one of the reasons why he got elected in the first place. So it's no surprise that he does things differently and does things in a way that often upsets people, and not just Democrats. Lots of Republicans are very unhappy with him at various times. You've got the Never Trumpers, people that had been conservatives or Republicans that just simply refused to support Trump in any way, basically, and others that begrudgingly do so. And the fact that Trump has picked Giuliani to do this, it certainly, at a minimum, raised eyebrows for what's going on here. And the question is, well, has he stepped over some particular line? And again, this is where you get into the ideological side of things, where Democrats will more quickly say that, yes, he's crossed a line, whereas Republicans are more reluctant to do so. And that's not unlike, to a certain extent, we saw back in the 90s with the Clinton impeachment, where Democrats were essentially supporting Clinton, not so much what he had done with the perjury side of things, but basically trying to say, well, it was a personal thing, what he did with Monica Lewinsky, and it shouldn't be calls for impeachment. And Republicans were saying the opposite. So again, the ideological component is
pausing
difficult to sort out.
Right there with Tim Hagel, University of Iowa. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about President Trump's impeachment here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The president's recent tweets have referred to impeachment as a hoax and an assault on America. His reelection campaign has started framing impeachment as a referendum on how Democrats regard him and his supporters. So have you taken stock of the impeachment inquiry? Do you plan to vote in the presidential elections next year? How much will President Trump's impeachment factor in your vote? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. University of Iowa political scientist Tim Hagel is staying with us. So, Tim, let's look for a moment at what polls find. Just before the House vote, Marquette University released a poll gauging how Wisconsin voters felt about impeaching and removing the president. Here's poll director Charles Franklin describing the results on our sister show, Central Time.
Stability is definitely the takeaway from this month's poll. This time in December, we had 40% favoring impeach and remove and 52 opposed. It was 40 and 53 a month ago. So hardly changed.
And a Washington Post ABC News poll finds Americans are basically split 50-50 on impeachment. Tim, what does this say about how Americans are feeling about what's going on here?
Well, not surprisingly, they're split. As I mentioned before, we're at a time when there's a very distinct partisan split on a number of issues, not just impeachment. Impeachment, of course, is extremely serious. And sometimes you wonder if people are actually taking it as serious as it is. I mean, the potential to remove a president is obviously very serious. But, you know, again, trying to separate the I don't like Trump from the yes, we have to remove this president is, again, sometimes very difficult to do. And the fact that the needle isn't moving, so to speak, on the polling side of things, at least to a certain extent, suggests that, the Democrats didn't make a strong enough case. They certainly tried to do so in terms of in the House hearings, certainly tried to make their case, but apparently not well enough. Although part of the problem there was that it wasn't the hearings weren't viewed by a huge number of people. The people that were maybe either needed to watch the hearings for one reason or another because of their jobs or because of keen political interest, they were tuned in. But for the most part, a lot of people weren't. And that suggests that maybe it's not something that sort of partisan flavor to it wasn't something that they were really interested in. And so it's not clear what the overall effect this is going to have, as your lead-in indicated, in the election.
Let's go to Chris now in La Crosse. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning. My question this morning is that I keep hearing that, the president has been impeached. And if he has been impeached, why is it not over? You know, why is it going to the Senate? And what is the difference between drawing up articles of impeachment and impeachment itself?
Good questions, Chris. Tim Hagel.
Let me start, with the first one, where the process is set up as a two-stage process. The House gets to vote on articles of impeachment, which is like an indictment in a criminal trial, and it just takes a majority vote to do so. Then they're supposed to send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate, where the trial is conducted. And it's not a trial like in a courthouse kind of a thing, but it has certain similarities to it. But the senators are the ones who vote on it. It takes a two-thirds vote of the senators present and voting to remove a person from office, whether it's a president or other people like a vice president or federal judges, things of that nature. The second question has to do with, well, was the president actually impeached? And apparently there's some disagreement about this among legal scholars, that they figure once the vote was taken that, yes, that's impeachment, that's it. But as we were saying at the top of the hour, it's not quite that simple, because apparently the House Speaker Pelosi has to transmit those articles over to the Senate and name the House managers, meaning the people that will be arguing the case in front of the Senate. And she hasn't done that. So some people argue that, well, that means that it hasn't been an impeachment. But I think for all practical purposes, yes, President Trump has been impeached. Whether some of the ministerial side of things is going to take place, we don't know yet, or we don't know when. But at some point, I'm sure they will get transmitted over and we'll have some sort of a trial in the Senate.
We heard from the senator from Alaska, Lisa Murkowski, this week, being concerned that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is in total coordination with the White House, and she's been reflecting on why senators seem to think that this is just a slam dunk and over, and not really wanting to hear witnesses. What do you make of her, and are there other Republicans in this camp?
I think there may be some other Republicans. That Murkowski is one of those ones who always seems to be maybe in the middle in things, sometimes would vote for the non-Republican position, vote with the Democrats. She did that with the Kavanaugh, the vote to approve Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court justice. And so she's one. Susan Collins of Maine is another one. Mitt Romney is occasionally seen to be a person that might deviate from the Republican side of things. But two or three isn't going to affect the vote to remove Trump. That's going to take a two-thirds vote. But if a couple of Republican senators vote with the Democrats in terms of calling more witnesses, then you may see all these folks that the Democrats want to call, John Bolton and a few others, staffers and so forth, people that might actually know, well, did Trump ever actually say, yeah, we've got to get some dirt on Biden for the 2020 election, as opposed to looking into any kind of corruption that occurred in the 2016 election. And that's the 2016 election concern is Trump's argument. Democrats are arguing, no, it's because he's trying to get dirt for 2020. And that's really the nub of the whole thing here. And so, yeah, it can make a difference. And what the reason that could hurt Republicans is that if the trial is drawn out, if there are more witnesses, and it becomes a big further stain on Republicans, it's still probably not going to get the president removed. But what will happen is that some vulnerable Republican senators may have harder time in their reelection bid. And perhaps that's what the Democrats are looking for, is maybe not so much that they're going to be able to remove Trump, but that they can regain control of the Senate.
Voting for with your conscience may have ramifications in reelection for some of these lawmakers.
Yeah, well, whether it's their conscience or whether it's voting for their party, whatever that vote is going to be, it's going to probably make some people mad. And so that's certainly going to be an issue in their reelection bid.
Well, let's go to Tom now in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
In President Nixon's time, he signed a bill that said when the House of Representatives and Congress send money over to the White House to spend it in a timely manner, a time is of the essence. Now, if we sent that money over there, the Republicans and Democrats, they got there, they sent the money, said it's supposed to go over there to Ukraine, and Mr. Trump delayed it. Now, if they're having an impeachment, do they need a simple majority to make the amendments to the bill, and then they need a two-thirds majority for the impeachment? But are they on record? Are the Republicans on record in the first bill they sent over there, are they on record, or was it by unanimous consent so that they can slip out of the situation? And then will there be retaliation? If he's out of there, there is no retaliation, or what could he do to hurt them?
Tom, thanks for the call. Tim Hagel, Tom is getting into the votes themselves.
Right. Yeah, the as far as the votes are concerned, although they didn't have a roll call vote in the House for the impeachment, we do know how individual people voted. And I don't recall all the names of there were two Democrats in one instance, three in another, that voted no on the articles of impeachment. All the Republicans voted no. Tulsi Gabbard voted present on both of them. So that was known fairly quickly. But in the Senate, we'll know who voted which particular way on the removal or even on any votes to have witnesses, which only takes a majority vote. But the key vote, of course, is, again, the removal, assuming we get to the point where we actually have a trial and a vote on it. And we'll know every senator how he or she voted.
So Saturday Night Live did a holiday-themed skit this month where families of different political views debated the president's impeachment. And near the end of the skit, the narrator made a joke about something they all have in common.
None of them live in the three states that will decide our election. They'll debate the issues all year long, but then it all comes down to 1,000 people in Wisconsin who won't even think about the election till the morning of.
So, Tim, 1,000 uninformed Wisconsin voters. What do you think of SNL's prediction there on the 2020 election?
Well, of course, being from a fellow Midwestern state, of course, the Midwest is extremely important in all of this. Iowa gets lots of criticism, of course, because of its caucuses and starting the process. But I think what that skit is getting at is the importance of swing states, again, like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania are often mentioned as well. And again, a lot of people just, you know, politics isn't their be-all and end-all. They've got lives to live, things to do that are, from their perspective, a whole lot more important than what's going on in the Beltway. And so, yeah, that they'll kind of get to the point where, all right, so, you know, we're living our life. Yeah, we kind of have a general idea as far as what's going on, but they're not concerned about the nitty gritty. But then at some point they say, all right, we're getting close to the election. We need to make a decision here. What's going on? Give me the thrust, the main thrust of all of this, and make a reasonable decision. The fact that people aren't paying attention to every little twist and turn does not mean that they're uninformed by any means. It means that they probably have decided that this is not particularly important at this point.
Tim, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Coming up, if you exchange gifts this time of year, you know firsthand the mountains of trash that follow the holiday merriment. From ribbons and wrapping paper to product packaging, old electronics. So what questions do you have about recycling? Join in 800-642-1234. It's holiday trash and what goes where right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.